Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Nun Gimel. And we are holding on, I think we're holding, if I'm not mistaken, right on the top line. Omer Rav Yehuda b'Rei de Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, b'Shmei de Rav. Okay, if I did it before, you'll be baruch me and we can review it. Me'aspedo shel adam nikar im ben ha'olam habahu im lab. You can tell from the way that people respond at the hesped of a person whether he's considered to be a ben olam haba. Because if he's an adam kosher, so then there'll be a tremendous response to his death, and people will cry and be upset. Mashain Kane, if he's someone that doesn't have a shaykhist olam haba, people won't respond to him, which is an amazing insight. I mean, what it's saying is basically that people are sensitive to reality b'shas hespeda. Which is amazing, because you'd think that all of these has paid him and they're all a bunch of garbage. And the truth is, we're not denying that. We're saying that the way to tell is not what they say. The way to tell is how people respond. So if people respond, then that means that there's something real about this person. And if not, so then, you know, they just laugh off the hesped, meaningless. And in fact, we ask Akasha, because you'd think that it's a davar pashut, but if Rav said to Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, "Achim ba hespeda, tahatam ka'imna," when you go, I want you to do, when I die, I want you to give a big good hesped, and I'm going to be listening, man. And you get people, achim, you get people to respond, to be warmed up in their heart, you know. So, I mean, doesn't that mean that it's all like this emotional thing and you're supposed to, the only way you're going to get people to respond at a hesped is not a real response to the death of the person, but because you're pulling on his emotional heartstrings, you know, so do a good job of speaking well and moaning and groaning and whatever. So then it's all romanticism. You're telling me that there's some type of innate response of people to Olam Haba, so why in the world would Rav require them to do all of this shtick at the hesped? Lokasha, that's not a problem. People don't respond. That's true. And they need to have some type of hook in which you're able to get them to connect to what's around them. That hook is called emotions. But the question of whether it makes any type of real impact on them is a totally different issue. Once you're able to be mechamem their emotions, so then if they are able to respond and take it seriously and really feel pain, then that's a sign that the person that you're talking about was a real person. Masha Inkain, if even after all the emotional shtick, you know, just they walk out and they have a cup of coffee and they're laughing and whatever, so then that means that the person really wasn't, they didn't take it seriously. And that's the point, that ha-demachimu ve-achim, ha-demachamu le-velo-achim. So is there a response or not? Says Abaye to Rabbah, so what are you going to do? The whole city hates your guts, and when you drop dead, everybody's going to clap and sing. And how is there going to be a hesped for you, you know? Remember, we've seen so many times the horrible comments that Rabbah makes about Bnei Mechuza, and he never let them in any way get away with anything, and they really resented him. So what's going to be with you? Mar desano lekulu pumpadisa, the whole pumpadisa hates your guts. So who's going to speak? Man achim bespeda, there's nobody going to be responsive. Omale, it's very good. There's you, and there's Rabbah Bar Rav Chanan. So there's two people. So if one will speak, the other one will respond. And then he can speak, and then the other one will respond. Doesn't say everybody has to respond. Obviously, most of the world is insane. Boy, mine Reb Elazar mi Rav. Ezeu ben olam haba. So one's Reb Elazar asked Rav. So where do we can we see that a person is clearly a ben olam haba? So he said, well, it's basically a question of, again, how do people respond at a hesped? So the idea over here would be, if the individual, you want to see who is an olam, ben olam haba, or Marley, listen to the posik and you'll see what it's saying. It's a posik. V'oznecha tishma na davar miacharecha leimor. Ze aderech lechubo, ki ta'amino v'chitas ve'ilo. If at your own funeral, so we're talking now to the neshama. So if you people saying about you, you hear people saying, see the way that this guy lived his life, that is the way that you should live your life, so then you can be sure that that means that you're a ben olam haba. Rabbi Chanina Amar, kol shedaat rabotav nochemena. Don't ask anybody else, because his friends, they're going to lie to themselves. And his parents for sure are going to lie to themselves. What you got to see is the people who know him really well, his own rabbein, if they're proud of him, so then that's a sign that he is royal olam haba. Getting back to Kohelet, we've been splitting up the various stages of Kohelet's description of Yom HaMisa into the separate pieces that we've been discussing. We've been talking about old age. We've been talking about death. We've been talking about Hespedim. So now we're going to look to the actual psukim in Kohelet that make reference to Hespedim. So over there it says something very strange. So, Ke'alach Adam Lebet Alamo, V'savavu B'shuk HaSoftim. And the people, the Softim, usually refer to, you know, these professional eulogizers, and they'll be walking around the streets. Well, what is that supposed to mean, walking around the streets? So, B'nei Galila Amre, because the point is that these people, they don't really know you, right? So you're asked to say a hesped. Remember, in those days, they had people that were really professional maspidim. I mean, it's still you have today, or until fairly recently, you had these magidim, right? So, you have a magid would speak, it would be ma'ir the yam. And they didn't really know the Niftar. So they would walk around asking people, tell me things about him. Let me understand what kind of person this was so that I can speak about him. That's the meaning of Savavu B'Shuk HaSovdim. So why in the world is Kohelet making mention of that? Because what he's pointing out is that B'nei Galilai Amre Asei Devarim Lifnei Mitatcha. So what you should do is people are going to be asking about you. So you should do the type of maisim so that when it comes time for your hesped, the people that are being spoken to by this guy, this Ofeid, they're going to be standing in front of your coffin. So let him have good things to say about you. Those people should be able to tell him good things. Now, B'nai Yehuda said the same thing, except strangely, they said it backwards. They said, Asei dvarim la'achar mitatcha. What is that supposed to mean? That means that to somebody who's standing behind your coffin. And that's just a minhag. Lo plige. Marki atre, umarki atre. Basically, from the Galil and Yehuda, they were saying the same idea. It's just that in the Galil, the person who would say the hesped would be standing in front of the mita, and in Yehuda, would be standing behind the mita. So they referred to it then as seidvarim, that the person standing behind the mita will have what to say about you. Fine. Tanan Hasa. Now, we know that we have in Aves, we have this amazing Mishnah, which, as I've pointed out to you before, the Rambam turns into the most incredible insight in Hilchos Teshuva in creating two completely different concepts of the Esek Betshuva in the seventh parak. So Rebbe Eliezer Omer, on the surface, this Mishnah makes no sense. So Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Shuv Yom Echad Lifnei Mitatcha. Always do teshuvah one day before you die. Shalu Talmid David Rebbe Eliezer v'chi adam yodea eze yom yamut. Well, how is that possible? People don't know when they're going to die. Amar lahem, oh, very good. The kol shekein. So then that makes it even better. So then better do teshuvah right now, because maybe today's the day. So shema yamut l'machar v'nimtza ko yamav v'tshuvah. So if he's going to be responding that way, that means every day is going to be in a state of teshuva. Ve'af Shlomo Amar b'chokhmato, and Shlomo HaMelech actually points this out. And he says, b'chol eit yu v'gadecha levanim, v'shemen al roshcha al yechsar. You should always be prepared for death in terms of your maisim. I mean, on one level, we're talking about the metaphor, b'gadecha levanim, and on the other, literally, that we're talking about the tachrichin, and we're talking about the shemen that they used to put on the meat. Omer Ben Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Mashallah Melech Shezimenet Avadav L'Seudav Alok Avalayim Zman. Look, basically, everybody is invited to this incredible banquet that the Melech Malchei Hamelechim is going to be presenting in Gan Eden. But he didn't tell you exactly when your invitation is coming. So if you're somebody who's got brains, so Pikin Shabem Kishtu Atatzman, So they're always ready to be called into the banquet because, I mean, after all, they're sitting in front of the palace and they're saying to themselves, look, I mean, is there anything that's going to prevent the king from inviting me right now? I mean, he can make a su'udah at any second that he wants, you know? So klum chaser lebet hamelech, obviously not, so I'm going to be ready. Whereas the idiots, they go around and they're dressed in their jeans and they're working. And they say to themselves, no, it takes a long time to prepare a su'udah, even the Beis HaMelech. You know, probably we've got time. All of a sudden, this, without any kind of advance notice, comes along the Melech and demands your attendance. So, pikhim shebem nichlesu lefanav kishehim mekushatin. Oh, they look great. But the tipshim come in wearing a bunch of filthy jeans. Samach HaMelech likrat pikhim v'ka'as likrat tipshim. Omar, so the Melech says, halalo shekishtu et atzman lesuda, people who deserve to be present at this meal and were prepared and they cared about it, let them sit down at the table, v'yochlu v'yishtu, let them enjoy themselves. But the ones that did not, let them stand and watch and enjoy. Chatanosh Rabbi Meir, Bishum Rabbi Meir Omar, no, that's not a good metaphor. Because then, if the way you said it is that these guys who were Rishayim, they're not going to be sitting at the table. And so, Mamela, they're going to be put into a position in which everybody sees them as Rishayim. That's not true. Because in the metaphor, the standing people could be mistaken as attendants, right? I mean, maybe they're waiters, maybe they're floor cleaners. I mean, it's not as if they have no connection to the Suda. They have their place. That's ridiculous. The correct way to do it is to say, okay, we've got different tables. Elu yoshvim, elu yoshvim. Halalu ochlim. So these are eating, and the other ones, the tables are left empty. Halalu reivim, halalu shotim, halalu tzmeim. And that's gufa, the remez in the pasuk that uses this in Yeshayahu. Ko amar Hashem, inei avadai ochelu v'atem tiravu. That those who are my avadim, they'll be eating while you go hungry. Inei avadai yishtu v'atem titzmu. Tichmo, you're going to be thirsty. They're going to be singing out of happiness, and you're going to be moaning and groaning. That's the idea. Anyway, let me just remind you of the wonderful pshat of the Rambam. I hope I won't take up too much time. But the Rambam understands that, obviously, the idea that Rabbi Eliezer was trying to say, he did not have Talmidim who were idiots and who couldn't catch the metaphor, that he says, shuv yom echad lifnei mitatchem, it's got to be pretty dumb not to understand that what he means is, you never know when you may die, today may be your last day, and therefore do teshuvah. So obviously that is not what he was saying. That's the whole point. And the Talmidim immediately understood that that's not what he was saying. How did they understand that it's not what he was saying? Because if he was saying, you never know when you will die, so then he should have said, a person should always do tshuva on the day of his death. What do you mean the day before his death? What's the point of saying the day before his death? If he's trying to bring out that at any person, like the marshal said over here, at any moment, a person could be called into the su'udah, so what are you talking about the day before? You're talking about the day before, it means you got time. Maybe it's only a day, but you got time. So therefore, the whole point of Rebbe Eliezer, the Talmidim understood, is always live as if you have a day, but only a day. So in other words, do not stop your life. That's the point. Do not stop your life and you're about to die. That's ridiculous. You can't stop your life and always be about to die. Live your life, but live your life with the understanding of the proximity of being called into the su'udah. That's the point. So they asked them, but that doesn't make any sense. I mean, so then what is that supposed to mean? The day before. The day before, you're saying, is something that I can respond to. Mamonavshach, if I'm aware of the fact that I'm going to die, so then I have to always be in a psychological state where I'm stopping my life vis-a-vis this issue. So I'm never really engaged. You're claiming that I can be totally engaged in life and that nonetheless, I can be engaged in life with a full appreciation of the fact that I may not have another day. I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? Says Tim, on the contrary, it makes even more sense. Kol shekin. And I'll prove it to you from Shlomo HaMelech. Because Shlomo HaMelech goes through 28 different 8, 8, 8, 8, right? There's time for everything in this world. There's only one thing that there's no special time for. Bechol eight, you begadech levanim. What do you think Shlomo HaMelech is saying, says Reb Eliezer? He's saying that no matter what the circumstances are of your life, no matter how engaged you are as a youth, no matter if you're making love or if you're involved in hate, and it's wartime, peacetime, makes no difference. You can live 100% fully engaged, but at all times, you begadech levanim. Absolutely brilliant. So that memela, there's two completely different dinim, and the Rambam paskins two completely different halachas. In halacha Aleph and Perek Zayin, the Rambam says that a person should always live in such a way that he's trying to do teshuvah, so that when he dies, he will be a baal teshuvah. The next halacha says a person should always think about, what if I die right now? And therefore, he better do teshuvah immediately. And Shlomo said, "Becholet you begadech levanim." It's like a total contradiction. That's the point. There's two completely different issues here. There's the way to lead your life in which it's a constant attempt and vision, a perspective. This is what I'm going towards. It's Teshuva Gemura. On the other hand, at this particular moment, I don't yet, haven't arrived at the capability to mamish do teshuva on everything that I've done. So therefore, whatever your shayach to do teshuva on, do teshuva today. Something crosses your mind and you realize I really need to do something about that. Don't really need to do something about it. Do something about it. That's the point. And that is the most incredibly effective and realistic advice that you'll ever get. So this Mishnah in Avos turns out to be like, it sounds like some absurd kind of discussion of a bunch of idiots and ends up being incredibly powerful. Fine. And here too, it uses the same lashon. Af Shlomo amar b'chokhmato. What's so smart about realizing that you're going to die? No, that's not that smart. The smart is that b'chol eight you can do this, and it doesn't affect the yitim. That's wonderful. Okay, anyway, continuing on, says the Gemara, there's also another remez in the pasuk, b'chol eight you begadecha levanim, that this is a reference to tzitzis. Elu tzitzit, this is a reference to the white strings of your tzitzit. Now, I'm telling you, gentlemen, from here is an amazing remez to the Rambam's approach to tcheles against all the other rishonim. The Rambam's approach to tcheles is that there's one chut of tcheles out of eight, not one chut of tcheles out of four. So according to the Rambam, you die half of the fourth string in Tcheles. This Gemara is a complete riot to the Rambam. Why? Because it says, Bechol eight yubegadecha levanim. There's 28 itim. If there's 28 itim, it exactly equals the number of levanim. How many white threads are there according to the Rambam? So you've got your eight threads times four, minus only four, one for each corner. According to everybody else, it would have to be minus two, because you bent the thread into two, you see? So the only way the Gemara works out, really, is that it is the Rambam's tzitzit, meaning the levanim. V'shemen al roshcha el yechsar refers to tefillin, because as Rashi points out, the idea of tefillin and the idea of shame interrelate with shemen. Tov shemi shemen tov. That tov shemi shemen tov, what is that shame? V'ra'u kol ha-me'aretz ki shem Hashem Elokecha nikra lecha v'ir'u mimecha. And indeed, the mokum in which we put shemen at the time that we make the simen of the keter on the melech's head, it starts from the mokum tefillin. So because of this, it's a remez both to your tzitzit and your tefillin v'shemen al-roshcha. Lo yachsar hadron alach perek hashoel. And so we continue our journey into the very special dispensations, we call them, in which Chazal made it possible for a person to be able to be Shomer Shabbos, despite the fact that he's in a tough situation in which if he will keep all of the dinim of Shabbos as we've been learning them, he's going to end up being Mechalal Shabbos. And this Gemara is one of the most fantastic discussions about the nature of these Gezeiros Bichlal And that question is, are you doing people a favor with these gezeiros and making it easier for them to be Shomer Shabbos? You're making it more difficult for them to be Shomer Shabbos. And in the end, you will be goyim that there will be fewer people that are Shomer Shabbos. This is an issue b'chlal in the nature of the tchila of the gezeiros. And as we've seen all along, the interrelationship between Shabbos and Chol, hachona and arrival, walking in terms of yitziyah and coming in, akira and hanocha, living in this world and arrival at the su'udah, which is baruch ata b'tzeitecha. That's yitziyah, baruch ata b'voecha. These are the issues that we've been talking about. And one of the most powerful situations that you could get caught up in is in the transition between Erev Shabbos and the moment of Knesset LeShabbos. Now, what the Gemara is about to do is just amazing how the Masechet is structured. It's about to close with literal closure the Masechet in the way that it was begun. We talked about an introduction of Hotzah, which went directly into empty your pockets before Shabbos, and what do you do before Shabbos in order not to come to Hotzah. Now we get into the situation in which the individual is leaving Chol and entering Shabbos, which is a metaphor for Hotzah and Hanocha, with literal problems of Akira and Hanocha. Because what's been happening is the guy got caught in a traffic jam. Very common situation. So he's convinced that he's going to be able to get back home. He ends up having to park his car at the side of the street. And now, what does he do? Can he take his things home, or is he forced to leave all of his very expensive things in the car and have them stolen over Shabbos? What exactly should he do? So this is exactly what we're talking about over here, except the Mishnah is talking about already a Tesla, you know, because he's got a Chamor, and Chamors are self-driven. But it's a little bit ahead of its time. But in any event, what can you do when you're stuck out on the road? So Mishich Shich Baderach. So it got too late for him while he was on the road. So he's got different things that he can do. He could give everything that he's got, he could give to a goy and ask the goy to bring it home for him. Now, the Amira La'akum, of course, is an Isser, but it's an Isser D'Rabbanan. It's not an Isser D'Oraisa. And as we've been talking about, these are all prokim, the closing prokim are all prokim in taking into consideration the way that the inyonim of the extension of Shabbos and the idea of Shmira of mitzvahs and the Shamartam es Mishmarti are meant ultimately to ensure Chalel alav Shabbat echad kedei sheyishmor arba Shabbatot, essentially. And that idea includes the concept of pikuach nefesh and the tikkun haguf, and starts with an understanding of mila, ma mila shu rak echas bi averov shel adam, the Torah said bi mechal Shabbos on, and so on and so forth. So here we come at last to the fact that we can go ahead, and the Rabbanan canceled the takon of not saying something to a nochri and giving it to him so that he can carry it for you. And the Gemara is going to ask, why would this be? V'im eni mo nochri, if there's no goy that's with you, so then put it on the donkey and let the donkey continue to bring it to you. Higia lechatzer achitzona, but the moment that you get to the first place that is shamur, and you don't have to worry about your things being stolen, you can take off the kelim that are not muktzah. So notelet hakelim anitalim b'shabbat, and the kelim that are not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. You certainly are not allowed to leave on your chamor the whole Shabbos because of Tzar Balei Chayim. But what you can do is, and that's part of the Laman Yanuach. I mean, the Laman Yanuach is on your chamor as well. So you're going to make your chamor, even if it isn't mamash and aver of Tzar Balei Chayim, it's not something, but it's uncomfortable. No. So what should you do? Matira chavalim. So loosen the strings that hold up your packages. Vasakin nofli me'alihem, and let the things fall off of the back of the donkey on their own, and at least nobody's going to steal them. Well, my time is shor le'rabbat al-mesef kisle le'nachri. What in the world is this about? Why all of a sudden did we turn into these mekilim who allow people to give something to a goy? Kim le'rabbat de'inod ma'amidatzmo al-mamono. This is exactly the takanas that we saw earlier, except in another direction. When you have a fire in the house, or when the chavis broke on the roof, remember, what we were concerned about over there was panic. And the panic involves the feelings that people have about taking a big hit. And they start to panic. And when they panic, they're liable to completely ignore the fact that it's Shabbos, even forget the fact that it's Shabbos, come to be Mechallel Shabbos. So one of the approaches that we had to panic earlier was to limit what you can do, because in limiting it, you stop panicking and you do what you can do. Here, we have the same situation, but there's no way that we can limit, because in the panic is that we're going to have to be matrim to save some of his money. Once we do that, it's a question, okay, now let's figure out the best way to save your money. So if there's a goy, give it to the goy. And therefore, since ein adam ma'amid atzmo mamono, he simply won't be able to psychologically stand there and leave everything he's got out on the street. So ilo sharitel, if you're not going to be matrim him, some kind of etza, otila tuye arba amot berushat rabim. Omar Rava, but listen, this is only if the psychology of it is such that you know he's not going to be able to hold himself back. That's panic. So his wallet, I understand, his iPad, yes. But suppose the guy is walking along the road, and it's Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, and he sees someone who left an iPad on the street. So is he allowed to tell the guy, pick up the iPad and bring it to me? No, because there he does not have the same kind of psychological trauma. It's like easy come, easy go. Okay, I won't take it, you know? So this is Davka Kiso of a Mitzianlo Pshita. Doesn't it say Kiso in the Mishnah? No, I might think that if he's going to suffer a monetary loss or even the prevention of a monetary gain, then that is the same thing. And maybe the only reason that it said kiso in the Mishnah is because that's the norm. Therefore, kamash malan, that it's actually dafka the kis. Velo amra, but when I say that, I don't mean that it has to be something that you worked for, and therefore you have the incredible pain of giving up what you've been working for and that is truly yours. Even something that you found, once it came into your hands and you were kena it, that is also considered to be really yours. So lo amrana de lo atili yadi, it's only if you just found it now and you need the goy to pick it up for you and take it in. But if you had already picked it up before Shabbos, that's the same thing as your own wallet. Kikise dami. Others say that actually Rava asked this as a question. Boy, Rava, mitziyaha ba'ali yado mao. How about, look, I definitely understand there's a difference between kis and mitziyah, but is that difference true even if before Shabbos he had already picked up the mitziyah and now it's his? Do we say kiven de ateliyade kikise dami? O dilma kiven de lotar balav kikise dami? Teku. So that in this version, he leaves that as a teku. Anyway, we paskin that it's mutter, and that's even though it was left here as a teku on the drabbana. Okay, continues the Gemara. Ein imo nochri. So the Mishnah said, no nochri, put it on the chamor. So why is it in that order? I don't quite understand. Only because ein imo nochri, then I'm allowed to leave it on the donkey. But if there is a nochri, then it's better to give it to the Nochri, to be over on the Isser of Amir La'akum, and not to leave it on the donkey. Why is that? Well, it's very simple. Chamor ata metzuve al shvitato. Nochri I ata metzuve al shvitato. Look, there's a big difference. You are not mechuy of midiraisa to see to it that a goy, that's not your evet, should have a Shabbos, obviously. That's not your business. Masha Einkein, when the Torah says your behemah is supposed to also be shayves, so that is a deoraisa, right? And because of that, you should give it to the goy. Well, obviously, if it's a deoraisa, we're going to have to figure out, so how is it mutter? We're going to ask that. Okay, now, how about if you've got, like, different possibilities? Let's imagine. You're walking along, you have a donkey, you have a cheresh, you have a shoteh, and you have a katan that are with you. But you do not have a goy. So what comes first? Do you put the things on the donkey and not give it to the cheresh of a katan? Yes. Why is that? Because there's a difference between a human who has shaychus to the mitzvahs, and because of that, it will be easy for people to think that, okay, it means that when things are tough, you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. So better to leave it on the behemah. The behemah, nobody's going to get confused with a Adam who is chayev in mitzvahs. How about if you only have a cheresh and a shaita? What's better? Better to give it to the shaita. And if you have a shaita of a katan, also better to give it to the shaita, because the katan is going to be growing up. And as far as the difference between the das of a shoteh and the das of a cheresh, interestingly enough, the das of a cheresh is viewed as a level of das, not full, whereas a shoteh, even though he may be able to talk to you intelligently and so on, but he has no das in the sense that his words are disconnected from reality. That's the problem. How about Iboilu, a cheresh and a katan? What would be better? So if you're going on Libra Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer holds all over that a cheresh is at least a suffix of having das, it's very difficult to be eimed because he's deaf, mute, and unable to communicate. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, since Rabbi Eliezer said that Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, that in the event that a cheresh took off truma, you cannot use that as chulin. You have to be chayshesh that it was an actual good giving of truma. But measure is a fake. So kiti boyelucha, the only problem that I have, so according to him, obviously I'm not going to give it to the cheresh because the cheresh may be in fact chayev in Shabbos. But I'm asking Alib the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, they hold that he's bichlal. He has absolutely no das at all. And this we see from the Mishnah in Trumais. Chamisha lo yitromu. V'im tomu ein truma tan truma at all. And this is cheresh out of a katan is the first. So you see over here, according to the Tanakam over here, the halacha is that a cheresh is bechalal not truma. You don't have to be cheresh that is truma. So those are the first three. The terim et she'ino shalo, you don't have the ability to make someone else's fruit truma. And even if you gave a goy, the rishos, you made him a shliach to be terim, if a nochri is shtarmas and shvol, even brishuto, because it says, ken tarimu gam atem. Gam atem is the makor of shlichus by truma. And gam atem, we learn out, why is the lotion? Gam atem, ma atem b'nei brit, av shluchachem b'nei brit. So only somebody who shayach take off truma himself. In all of these cases, the truma is zero trumas. According to the Rabbanan, that means that a cheresh is definitely not chayav in mitzvahs. So, therefore, the question is, what should we do? Do we give it to the cheresh? Because, after all, the katan will one day come to be chayav in mitzvahs. It's better, therefore, to assume that the cheresh will probably always be a deaf mute. Odim on the katan yoivle. Simply because a cheresh looks like an adult, and other people who see him carrying will think that maybe it's okay to carry on Shabbos. And a cheresh, therefore, is asi lechlufe begadol pikeach. Masha'inkein, a katan, people will realize, is just a katan. So actually, it's a machlokas. Ikedi amri lecheresh yoivle, ikedi amri lekatan yoivle. Fine. So in other words, best thing is a goy, if one's available. Next best thing is an animal, like the chamor in the Mishnah. Next thing is a shaita. Next thing is either a cheresh or a katan, depending on the machlokas, right? How about if you don't have any of these eitzes? There's no goy, there's no donkey, there's no cheresh, there's no shaita, there's a katan, which of course is the most likely situation. But what do you do then? Om Rebbe Yitzchak, well, there was something else to do, but we don't want to talk about it. So there was another eitzah. We didn't want to talk about it, Barabim, even though it's Be'emes Mutter. What's that? That is Molicho Pachot Pachot Bi'arba Amot. If there's nothing else, then you can actually carry it yourself for as long as you want in the Rishos HaRabim. What do you do when you get home? That we'll see. And that way, you'll be able to get it home. So why didn't the Chachomim want to say it? I understand. I mean, if this is an eitzah, that's Bishum, because it says in the Pasuk, Bishum, Kvod Elohim Haster Davar, that as Shlomo HaMelech says, for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should keep things hidden. But the Kvod Melechim Chakor Davar, but just because a Melech has Chashivas doesn't mean you have to hide the things that need to be known by the public. So what's the Kvod Elohim? That what, it's mutter to be Master Divrei Torah because of the honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is that? Because the Chachomim were concerned that Dilmati Latuye Arba Amot Brishut Rabim, and they didn't want to make this that everybody would know. So if somebody is a Talmud Chacham and he knows the din of Hotzah and he understands the need to stop, and in, because if you keep walking, you just stop for a second, then that's not considered to be Pochus Pochus Bi Arba Amos, obviously. As a matter of fact, the Pochus Pochus Bi Arba Amos is best done by two people, because that way no one person will be the one who will carry if he doesn't stop properly, and it would be Oymed Lafush and so on. So if you're going to stop yourself, some are mechayev you to actually sit down, stop, and then get up again. Okay, so they were afraid that someone who isn't a Boki in those dinim, he's going to end up carrying Arba Amos Brishus Rabim, and because of that, they didn't want to make it part of the Mishnah over here. Tanya, Reb Eliezer Omer. So here is the incredible machlokas between Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua, the way Rashi understands it, in terms of the way that the Chachomim treated the Dinim of Shabbos. And this is because, remember that very, very important day in which they were geyser, the Yud Ches Dvorim. So that day that they went up to the Aliyah, and there was the story in which the Talmidim of Beis Shammai, there were more Talmidim of Beis Shammai, and there was Yud Ches Dover. That was the Aliyah of Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorain, who had gone up to his Aliyah. It was a famous Aliyah because he was Derish, the whole Sefer Yecheskel there, in order to answer all of the contradictions that appeared to be contradictions. And so because of that, there was the Yud Ches Dvorim. And the Shaila is, how do we look at those Yud Ches Dvorim? Because remember, this takana of giving your kiss to a Nochri, then that's the way you should do it, rather than doing it Pochus Pochus Mi Arba Amos. That was one of the Gezeiras. We had that back at the beginning of the Masechet. We are now coming around to the closure of the Masechet with the same sugya. And here is an amazing machlokas. In the Braita, it says like this, that Reb Eliezer says that Bo Bayom, that famous day, and that was the day that they all went up there, and that was also, according to some, the very Bo Bayom that we were referring to Reb Elazar ben Azariah when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai made that whole stink and ended up that they made Reb Elazar ben Azariah the Nasi. So that was also the same Bo Bayom, according to the Gaonim. So he said that Gotshu Sa'ah, that day they made the Sa'ah full to the brim with as much as it could possibly hold. So in other words, what they were doing was they were making Shabbos much more Kodesh and much more Shomor because they did exactly what needed to be done to protect the Shabbos from Chilo. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, they destroyed Shabbos. Bo Bayom Machakusa'a. If they would have left things the way they were with the Gezeris that were originally there, they had a Sa'a that had a little bit more, which was the correct way to make Gezeris, a little bit above the level that the Kli would hold if it was just if it was holding grain, and you would go and you would level the grain on the top. So they had more than that. But by adding these gezeiras, they totally messed up. And it ended up that what used to be there that was on top of the sa'ah, they were mochek. They leveled the sa'ah. This is an amazing, I once had a story of a taxi cab driver who was dropping me off. He takes me to the old city. It's amazing. And the guy says to me, you know, let me ask you something. Suppose for a moment that all of the mitzvahs of Shabbos would have been left on a d'oraisa. Do you think there would be Chilul Shabbos today? You don't think that this country would be 90% Shomer Shabbos? The reason that nobody can be Shomer Shabbos is because of the insane gezeiras. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You can't go to the beach, you can't go swimming, you can't turn your TV. What? I mean, it's just insane. So of course people can't live like that. And because of that, all of these gezeiras ended up destroying Shabbos. What do you think, that people wouldn't keep Tiras HaMishpocha if the din would have been like the D'oraisa? So fine, a woman has a period, and 7 days later she's Torah. I'm like this, my God, you're going to the rabbis every 10 seconds with this marada, maybe this, maybe she's a zava, it's insane. So obviously they destroyed the world with all of this mishmeres, a taxi cab driver. Boy, was I pretty stunned. Okay. So anyway, this is exactly this Gemara. So Taina's Rabbi Yeshua, they killed Shabbos because they overdid it. And it says in a brisa, Mashal de Rabbi Eliezer, you see why this is no gea, this entire part of the Masechet, because this is where we find in Shas, these Yudches Dvarim, and the way that they then needed to adjust things to be able to make it possible to have the dispensations that would allow you to actually be functional on Shabbos, which is the whole closing of the Masechet. So no wonder we close back at that beginning. So Rebbe Eliezer's mashal was, look, I mean, you've got a kupam le'aki shu'in v'diluin. You got this big sa'a, and it's filled up with cantaloupes and with watermelons and so on. So obviously it's got stuff that is sticking out of the top by itself. Now, you want to come along and you want to add to that, okay? If you want to pour in 30 pounds of mustard seeds, you got plenty of place to pour it in because it falls all around the sides. And those seeds actually hold what's in the barrel better because now it's like one solid mess. And that would be a tremendous way to keep it. So, Adam noten letocho chardal v'machzek it. It's now going to be better. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua was saying, no, look, it's basically a fluid situation. The fluid situation, and it's very sweet. We're talking about real pure honey, okay? The Torah gave us a Shabbos that was pure honey. That was wonderful. And that honey filled up every possible space, okay? Now, what do you want to do? You want to start throwing in gross issues. They're gross compared to the subtleties of the dinim of the Torah and so on. You're going to like, okay, we got this thing and this is going to shmir. I mean, it completely destroys the balance of everything. So you've got an areva malea dvash. You've got this beautiful bowl filled to the top with honey. And you've decided you're going to pour pomegranates into it and nuts in it. And where do you think the honey is going to go? And honey is going to go all over the edge of the bowl. And that's going to ruin it, right? Noten letocha rimonim vegozim vemikia. It's going to spit out the honey. And that's exactly what they did. Okay, amazing. Omar Mar, so he said, if any momid nochri minichol achamor. Now, I don't understand. You pointed out yourself that the reason that we want to have the nochri as opposed to the chamor is because the chamor, I do have a responsibility to. And then you tell me, but nonetheless, if there's no nochri, you're allowed to do an isser d'oraisa. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Now, what we're about to do, gentlemen, is introduce a concept that we have not had the entire Masechet, which expands the nature of the melacha of Shabbos. The simple thing that the Gemara should have asked is that isn't there a mitzvah to be shomer that your animal will be laman yanuach shorcha v'chamorcha? Instead, it asks a completely different question. It asks about being mechamer, and we haven't even spoken about mechamer. And that is based on a completely different pasuk, not a mitzvah asay of laman yanuach, but instead a mitzvah is lo tase, which is lo tase kol melacha ata uvincha uvitcha, and also behemtecha. Whoa. So what does that mean? That it's an iser to do melacha. It means it's an iser to do melacha together with your behema. That is called mechamer. Mechamer means that I actually lead on, that's chamor mechamer. And that's exactly how we started this whole thing. If you have a chamor with you. If I lead on the animal by pulling on it, by even just calling it, and it is doing work for me, then working together with my animal, even though he puts out the physical energy and I'm only putting out the mental energy, is a new type of malacha, a brand new din. So if over here what happens is that the animal is going to be doing real hotzah. And if he's doing real hotzah, then to tell me that I should have my animal carry my things in for me and carry in Rishus Harabim Arba Amos is telling me to do an Isser D'Oraisa. And the Mishnah is saying I should do an Isser D'Oraisa? How is that possible? V'halo mechamer, v'rachman amar lo taaseh chol melacha. That's an iser, not just lamanya nogda. Lamaisa, there's a tremendous question. Why did we, when we originally spoke about that over there, Yomitsuva and Shvitato, we talked about lamanya noach? You have to see to it that the animal is shovet. Now all of a sudden we switch gears. We don't ask about the Shvita. which we've already spoken about, and we introduce a brand new issue, which is the Isser of Mechamer. There's many, many approaches to this. A lot of the Rishonim talk about it. One of the most satisfying approaches is the Ramban, which is that where you're talking about Lamanya, Nuach, that would only be true if it's your own animal. But if you're talking about Mechamer, that's a halacha in Melacha. It has nothing to do with it being your animal. So because of that, you would be chayev for being Mechamer. So we ask the Kasha in this way. Obviously, there's differences between a Natseh, between a Lotasa, and the possibility that you'd be chayev, as we're going to be saying. Fine, we'll talk about the other two or two when we go into the issues of Mechamer, which we'll complete tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. So in any event, how do you explain that? So this is talking about closure, guys. If you don't know the beginning of the Masechet and the Dinim of Akira and Hanocha and the issues in the first Mishnah, so it's a question of the first Mishnah, that the Ani puts something in the hand of the Balabayit and then the Balabayit brings it in, or vice versa, right? So what is that talking about? Doing an Akira without Hanocha or doing Hanocha without an Akira? Well, let me tell you something. We also had all the questions of Toano Chaveiro, a guy is walking, somebody puts something on you. Ooh. So you didn't do the Akira. The other guy did the Akira. All you're doing is walking. Aha. Okay. So that is exactly what we close the Masechet with. You're right that it would be Mechamer. But since in order for you to be doing a Malacha on Shabbos, there would have to be an Akira and a Hanocha that this donkey did. So therefore, what you need to do is make sure that it doesn't do the Akira. You do the Akira and put it on the donkey while the donkey is walking. And that way the donkey cannot be over on the Malacha. So therefore you're not going to be Mechamer, right? This is amazing closure. I'm telling you, it's absolutely astonishing. So while the donkey's walking, you put the things on the donkey. And that way, there's not going to be any Akira. Wait a minute. I mean, donkeys, they stop all the time. You know, when they need to urinate, they stop. When they need to excrete, they stop. So it's obviously going to stop. At that moment, it's going to start walking again afterwards. And then you're going to be telling it to come and so on. And it's following you. So then in the end, there's going to be an Akira Vanacha. No. You have to understand. You walk along the side of the donkey at all times. Okay. So then, when it's walking, that's when you put it down. When it stops, you take it off. Then you wait until the donkey starts walking again. Then you put it on. So you need to be a bucky in Akira Vahanoch, as you understand, to make sure that your donkey was not Oker and Meniach besides the Otsav Arbam is Precious Harabi. So then says the Gemara, so if that's true, you could do that with a person. Because that was the chelek that we had in the beginning of the Masechet, that if somebody else, that was the first Mishnah. So why did we get to a donkey? If you can do that with a person, he's not going to be chayev. If you did the Akira or you did the Hanocha, that's mamish, the first thing that we learned in the Masechet. So now we turn around and we take that entire Mishnah and put it onto a donkey. So why does it have to be a donkey? Why can't it be the guy himself? Omer of Papa, that's because, look, this is how it works. Kol shegufo chayav chataz. If you're talking about a malacha, which if you would have done the entire malacha, you would have been a chayav chatas. Instead, you do it with the other guy, which is the opening Mishnah, the Oni and the Balabayit. Between the two of them, they get the Hotzah done, right? So then doing it over there, remember, what was the whole Daf Beis and Gimel was about the Diraisas and the Rabbanan, and we said it would be usher to do the Akira without the Anocha, and usher to do the Anocha without the Akira. Then we got into the whole Pasuk about Sotau, Set Kula, and so on, right? Okay. So that would be an Isser Drabbanan, and we never were matir that, right? Even for a case over here where he was machshich al aderech. But kol shechaveiro patur aval aser, but anything which, if you had done it with somebody else, would only be an Isser Drabbanan, when it comes to mechamer, they weren't geyser in the case of a machshich. That's the point. So b'chamoro, it would be mutter afilu lechatchila in this particular case. Fine. So that was the special dispensation that was given to somebody that ended up out on the street before Shabbos. Omer Rav Abba Bar Ava, I got to tell you that there's another option. And the other option is this. You're walking along, you've got a backpack on, all your stuff is in the backpack, And oh my God, it's only 10 seconds to Shkia. Oh man, I'm stuck out here. It's going to take me another hour to get home. What in the world do you do? Just keep on walking. Walk and keep on walking. Because if you keep on walking, so then you were ta'un from Erev Shabbos. You never did an act of Akira as long as you do not stop. To make sure you do not stop, don't just walk. Run to your nearest Rishus Hayachid. That is actually a place where something would be shomer, and that way you can get it into town. So just run. So run tachta ad shemagia leveto. You just keep running, and you never did, therefore, an Akira and a Hanocha. Wait a minute. So you dafka have to run? Dafka runs. Of a kali lo. You can't walk slowly. Why? Because given the letle hekira, there's nothing there to remind you. I mean, you've been walking all day. You're going to continue to walk all day long. When you got a little tired, you know, you stopped for a minute and took out your water bottle and drank. You'll do the same thing now. But if you do that now, then you're going to be in a big problem, because then you're doing akira and anacha. So you won't be able to continue walking. The only thing that you do is, since kiven the letle hekera like this, if you're running, you say, what the heck am I running for? Because I can't stop. But if you don't run, so then atilam evad akira v'anacha, and then in the end, you may end up indeed, yes, doing akira and hanacha. Yeah, but I mean, what good is all of this? It's all very nice that you never did an akira v'anacha in Rishus Harabim, I understand. But then when you get home, so what happens then? You got to stop for a minute. And you got to open the door. I mean, there's always that hesitation in the translation from the Rishus Harabim into Rishus Hayochid, which in the end will turn out to be the equivalent of Hanacha. So then how am I going to get away with that? It's going to take him a moment that he's going to stand there before he can walk inside. And at that point, he's going to be Ma'ayom Rishut Harabim L'Rishut Hayochid, no matter what, if he now goes into the house and puts it down. You're right. As he approaches his house, what he does is, he starts running backwards, you see, takes off his backpack and throws it over his shoulder so that it should be kila achra yad, and that way he won't be doing any malacha.